Okay, today's daf is Kuf Yubet. We're going to start at Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Bet at the second wide line, the high Tana Maitel Amihacha. Okay, we'll go back for a quick minute and review. There's sheets for today. So take sheets. And we're not going to have class tomorrow. We're going to do a daf and a half today and a daf and a half on Tuesday. They're short dapim, and that way we won't have class tomorrow when the kids have off from school, just to make it easier. Okay, Refuach Lemot, Orli Panina Baracha Frida, Yelmer Bat Chaya, Daphna Chaya Batari, Lanamir Batina, Hanamicha Bafrida Hinda, Hanalea Bafrida, David Avram Ben Miriam, Rafal Moshe Ben Malka, Viloy Nishma, Yosef Ben Tzvi Akoin Ben Rachel, Oz Avram Shuva Ben Eliezer Halev Ben Bechana, Moshe Chaim Ben Ahuva. Okay, where were we from Friday? If you look at the top of the sheet, I started to organize it. We were trying to find the source for the halacha and the mishnah, the ha'ish et ishto, nochalim velo manchilim, basically that a woman passes on her inheritance to her husband. So the first source we saw was she'ero, okay, it's on the sheet, zo ishto, melamed shabal yoresh et ishto. Right, then we said, yohol akiti rashenu, maybe she should also inherit him, and then it says, v'yarash ota, hu yoresh ota, v'in hi yoresh ota, and then we had an issue about the order, what does it mean? The pasuk really said, ha'she'ero akarobilav inherits from him, which sounded like the wife should inherit from the husband, and then Abaye and Rava each gave their answers, how they did it, either Abaye literally cut up the pasuk as Rava said it, which Rava didn't like, and then Rava did this gorinu mosifim vidorshim, where he took out the vav and the lamed, switched them, moved them over to after, and said, you know, it's yara, lo, that it's the yara, how did it work? Minatatim et nachalat she'ero lo. Okay, that's how he did it. Now we're going to have a different source. Okay, so that was the first source with two different explanations as to how it works out. The second source is v'hai tana maite lamehacha. This other tana brought it from a different source. D'tanya v'yarash oto, those same words from the pasuk. Melameh shabal yoresh et ishto divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's the first source. That's what we saw before. Rabbi Yishmael omer eino tzarich. You don't need that pasuk because you have a different pasuk which says it more explicitly. Where is that? Harehu omer v'chol bat yoreshet nachala mimatot bnei Yisrael le'echad mimishpachat. Okay, you can continue the pasuk. Mate aviha tielisha. Right, that's okay. I brought all these pasukim today because we're going to darshan them. But midbar perek lamivav. Maybe we should just read the pasukim first. We'll see. It'll be easier. And then we're going to see if you can already look at the chart that this makor is going to actually bring five pasukim to prove the point. Which we're then going to have to say, why does he need all five pasukim and what's the point here? So first, let's read the psukim. And by Midbar Lamed Vav, it says, "Vayitzav Moshe b'nei Yisrael api Hashem limor, kein mate b'nei Yosef dovrim. Zeh hadavar asher tzivah Hashem lebnot tzlafchad limor, latov b'einehem tiyelan l'nashim, ach l'mishpacha mate aviyem tiyena l'nashim." Right? There's this whole problem. If the lebnot tzlafchad got the inheritance from their fathers, and then they go marry someone from a different shevet, they're going to pass the nachala to a different shevet. So basically, the b'nei Yosef came and said, you know, what's going to happen? So, right, they were from Shevet ben Asher. So Hashem says, right, they can only marry people from their own Shevet. Okay, this is a little bit limiting, right? We have a shidduch crisis nowadays. Just wait till we see another suggestion the Gemara suggests, which would even make it more complicated. Okay, but you can only marry someone in your own Shevet. And now we're going to see, there's a lot of repetition in the next few psukim. And this is what's going to lead to the drasha. V'lo tisov nachala lebnei Yisrael mimateh mateh. Okay, and in this way, the nachala won't move from shevet to shevet. Ki ish b'nachala mateh avotav yidbeku b'nei Yisrael. Okay, all the underlined words we're going to eventually darsh, and that's why I underline them. V'chol bat yoreshet nachala mimatot b'nei Yisrael le'echam mimishpacha mateh aviyah tiyeh l'isha. And any daughter who inherits from her father, right, from the shevet, nachala, she can only marry someone from her father's shevet. Leman, which already we kind of said, so it's a little repetitive. Leman Yershu b'nei Yisrael ish nachalat avotav. Okay, in order that the nachalat stays within the shevet. V'lo tisov nachala. Okay, again, we already saw v'lo tisov nachala, right? The same thing. V'lo tisov nachala mimate lemate acher. The nachala is not allowed to transfer from one shevet to another. Ki ish b'nachalato yidbeku matot b'nei Yisrael. Okay, which is basically the same as Shupsukim before. Almost the same words. Ish b'nachala mate avotav yidbeku b'nei Yisrael. And ish b'nachalato yidbeku matot b'nei Yisrael. Okay, the word matot is extra. We're going to see, actually, they're going to darshan that later. So keep that in mind. So what are we trying to say here? How do we know that a husband gets his inheritance from his wife? Because it says here, "V'chol bat yoresha nachala mimatot b'nei Yisrael le'echad mimishpachat aviyah tiyeh l'isha." V'gomer, "V'hasabat ha'bahal ha'ketub medaber." What this is referring to is land that was given over. How are we worried that the land is going to pass from the wife to the husband? Or, no, sorry, I didn't say that right. How are we concerned that the land is going to pass from her father's, like, let's say the father's from Ephraim, so the woman's from Ephraim, the father's from Menashe, the husband is from Menashe, okay? So what's going to happen? How's her land going to get to him? Well, she's going to inherit land from her father, and she's going to pass it on to her husband. That's how you have it. So what do you see here? That the husband must inherit from the wife, okay? Otherwise, it wouldn't get to another shevet. But now it says, ve'omer, ve'lo tisov nachala l'bnei Yisrael mimateh l'mateh. Ve'omer, ve'lo tisov nachala mimateh l'mateh acher. Ve'omer, okay, so we're basically saying we need all these pesukim. Okay, and now here we have a totally different pasuk. Ve'elazar ben Aharon mate, v'yikberu oto b'givat Pinchas b'no. When Elazar dies, it says they buried him where? In the section that belonged to Pinchas' son. V'chiminayin l'Pinchas, shelo hayalo l'Elazar. Right? How did Pinchas have nachala that wasn't his father's nachala, right? Generally, you have your father's nachala. Ela milamed shenasa Pinchas isha umeita v'yersha. What can you prove from here? He must have gotten Yerusha from his wife, and he buried his father in the Nachala that came from his wife, that he inherited from his wife. Ve'omer, and there's another pasuk which says this, Uskuv holidit Ya'ir, vayhilo esrim v'shalosh arim be'eretz ha-Gil'ad. Okay, Skuv gave birth to Ya'ir, and he had 23 cities in Eretz Gil'ad. The assumption is that who's it talking about? Vayhilo to Ya'ir. Ya'ir had these 23 cities, and the assumption is that he had them, but his father didn't. Otherwise, it would have been written in Skuv's name and not in the son's name. So, v'chi minayin le'yair shelo hayalo l'skuv, milamed shenasa Ya'ir isha umeita v'yersha. It must be these 23 cities that belonged to his wife. She gave them to him, and that's why they had no connection to his father, only to him. Okay, very nice. But now we're going to have the big question, which is, why do you need five psukim to prove one halacha? So my ve'omer, this is classic the way the Gemara says it. There's a braita that says this pasuk, ve'omer, this pasuk, ve'omer, this pasuk. So my ve'omer is, what's this word ve'omer in the braita? Meaning, why did he keep having to bring all these other pasukim? So for this, I want you to look at the second chart on the sheet, and we're going to go through every one and say, well, maybe that was only referring to something else. And each one we're going to say, it's unless you have all five, we never would have known for sure that the husband can inherit from the wife. So, remember, let's talk about it for a minute. Woman comes from Shevet Ephraim. Husband comes from Shevet Menashe. So we said before, she'll inherit from her father and she'll pass it on to her husband. How else could she pass the Nachala from Ephraim to Menashe? Through her son, right? And she could pass on inheritance to her son, not to her husband. Let's say her husband dies first, right? Then she'll pass the inheritance on to her son. In which case, right, what are we going to say? It could be that this we called hasabat haba'al, meaning it was moved over through the husband. But maybe it's not moved over through the husband. Maybe it could be moved over through the son, in which case it wouldn't prove that she could inherit, that the husband inherits from her. It could be the whole issue of passing the nachala to the different shevet could be only through her son could be the issue. So that's what they're going to say. V'chi tema b'sebat haben kakapikra. Maybe the first pasuk was referring to transferring it through the son. But maybe the husband doesn't. Now, why would you think the son would come before the husband? Very simply. Son is blood. Right? It's her blood relative. Husband is a spouse, not blood relative. So you might think that it would be more likely to go to the son than the husband. So if you're going to have some way this nachala will go through, more likely it will go through the son rather than the husband. So therefore, tashma, that's why you need the second pasuk. V'lo tisov nachala l'bnei Yisrael mimateh l'mateh. So the repetition is teaching you, one is hasabat haben, and one is hasabat haba. Okay, one is bringing it through the son, and one is bringing it through the husband. But now, maybe not. Maybe they're all talking about, maybe the next one's also talking about sabat haben. V'chi tema lavor alav b'lav v'ase. We've seen this many times. Notice the psukim, right? V'lo tisov, the first two psukim are, the first is, okay, look at the chart, v'chol bat yoresha nachala mimato b'nei Yisrael lecha mimshpachat aviyah, she should pass it on to, right? She should marry. That is an ase, mitzvah ase. V'lo tisov nachala b'nei Yisrael is a lo tase. Maybe it's trying to tell you, which you've seen in many cases, I'll give you an example, like Yibum, right? You have to marry the brother, and you're not allowed to marry anybody else. So it's a lav and an ase. So maybe it's trying to tell you you're not allowed to marry someone out of your shevet because you'll end up passing the nachalat to a different shevet through your son, but not through your husband. And if you do it through your son, you're over on both, and you're missing. You're not mevatel a mitzvat aseh of marrying someone within your shevet, and you're over on a lo taseh by passing the nachalat. So therefore, tashma, that's why we need the third pasuk. Okay, we're up to three already. Why do we need three? Lo tisov nachala mimateh lemateh acher. Okay, that's why we need the third pasuk. V'chi tema lavor alav v'shnei lavin v'aseh. We've seen this also, where sometimes there's two lo tasehs, which would mean what? You get double malkot, okay, if you're over on it. So maybe it's trying to tell you that this is very severe and you're over on two lavim and an aseh. Tashma, v'lazar ben aron meit. That's why we need the fourth pasuk. To tell you, right, that this teaches you, if you didn't think, if you thought the first three were all talking about Sabbat HaBen, we have a fourth pasuk to tell you, well, this teaches you that you inherit from the father. The husband inherits from his wife. So now they say, V'chi tema Elazar hu denasiv itita umeita v'yarta pinchas. Maybe Elazar was the one who married someone, but he died first. She stayed alive. And then she passed it on to her son, right, to Pinchas, to their son. And that was how the Nachala got to Pinchas, but it never belonged to Elazar. Maybe that's how, if you thought about it, when Pinchas had land that Elazar didn't, there's all sorts of options, which we're going to raise throughout the daf today, about how Pinchas could have gotten this land in some other way without necessarily saying it must be he inherited through his wife. In other words, maybe he inherited through, actually, I said it wrong. Maybe even Elazar was still alive, right, because we're trying to raise the possibility that she wouldn't even pass it through him, right, totally. So let's just review that. So basically, according to this pasuk, Pinchas gets the nachala from his mother because his father wouldn't get it from the mother, because we were suggesting that maybe we don't actually learn that from here. So then, tashma, uskuvolida yeir. Well, why do you need then a further pasuk to tell you the exact same thing, right? The purpose here is not necessarily they're trying to tell you what happened in history, right, and who, whatever, but it's that they're trying to teach you a halacha here. So if they're trying to tell you that this happened, that he had 23 cities, it didn't belong to his father, if the first pasuk is teaching you, it's that he inherited it through his mother, well, the second pasuk must be teaching you, right? B'chite mahatam nami hachihu. And if you want to say, well, maybe this is the exact same thing, and maybe Yair inherited it from Skuv's wife, his mother, then imkein trei krai lamali. But then why would you need two pasukim to say this? In which case, we finally conclude that because there's two pasukim about this, maybe the first three are all about Sabbat HaBen, right, the v'chol bat, the lo tisav nachala and lo tisav nachala are all about to teach you. There's two lo tases and an ase. The one about Pinchas is coming to say, well, he inherited through his mother and Elazar's wife. And the fifth pasuk of Skuv must be coming to teach you that a husband can inherit from his wife. And that's what happened here, that Skuv had a wife, and I'm sorry, Yair had a wife, and he got these cities from his wife, and it had nothing to do with Skuv at all. Okay. Wanted to say, right, one, by the way, I saw an interesting interpretation about the v'chol bat. Someone suggested that it could be that v'chol bat is to basically forbid marriage, and then the second pasuk, v'lo tisov nachala, is if you anyway did marry someone in the next shevet, right, in a different shevet, then when it comes to passing on your inheritance, it goes back to your father's house or your brother's, right, and that nachala, even though normally Divrei Nachala would tell you, you know, laws of Nachala would tell you, you pass on to your son. In this case, you wouldn't pass it on to your son because, you know, it would be a lo taseh, you'd be over. At the moment that you married the guy, that would be one thing. You'd be mevatel the aseh. And then later on, when you actually pass on the Nachala, you'd be over the lo taseh. In other words, there's different stages, really. And maybe it's talking about two different stages.
So it would never go to your husband if you married.
Right, if you married out, according to that, you shouldn't. Right, you shouldn't pass it on to him.
There's a lot of logic in that. So it doesn't limit you as far as marriages quite as much.
Logic to which one?
To allowing people to marry outside of the tribe,
and just don't pass the nachala. Well, they're not. They're not allowing that. They're saying if you did it anyway,
yeah,
well, don't pass the inheritance. Right, it's not allowing it.
It's not supposed to back up.
Right. Right. Clearly, shiduchim were looked at a little differently in those days. I don't think they were so worried that, you know, about finding their one bashered and then hopefully he's in the same shevet. But we'll see. We'll see soon. There's a good suggestion here about limiting it even more. Okay. Amalei Rav Papa Labai. Now Rav Papa says Tabai. Mimai. Wait, I have a question here. Okay, I have a question on this braita. Dilma lo olam e malacha ba'al lo yarit. Maybe you could say the husband never inherits from the wife. Ukrai b'sabat ben kiddushaninan. Okay, and the psukim, the first three, are all about sabat ben, right? Going through a son, like we learned. V'yair, okay, here's another better suggestion, d'zabim mizban. He bought it himself, right? Who's to say that all nachala is inherited? Maybe he was wealthy and he bought it on his own. U'pinchas nami, d'zabim mizban. Okay, and Pinchas also bought the land. So now you have an issue. Why? Amar le, Abai says to me, Pinchas, d'zabim mizban, lo matzi amar. You can't say that Pinchas bought the land. Why? Okay, let's just look for 1 minute at the pasuk. What happened here in the pasuk? You probably don't remember. But Elazar ben Aharon mate, okay, because we were focusing on the fact that he had this land that his father didn't have, but what's really happening in this pasuk? Elazar dies, and they bury him in the giv'ah of Pinchas' son. Now, if Pinchas had bought the land, why would it be make no sense that he would bury his father there? Because de'im ken nimtzat tzadeh chozer b'yovel v'nimtzat tzadik kavur b'chever she'eno shelo. If he bought it, it's going to go back in the Yovel year to its original owners, and his father will be buried forever in someone else's nachala. That's not going to be very good, right? So it's not going to be respectful, especially for Elazar ben Aharon Kohen, to bury him in someone else's plot, you know, that years later it'll end up going back. So it doesn't make any sense that he would have buried his father there. So therefore, you can't say it's land that he bought. Ela Ema, but Rav Papa continues and said, wait, I have a different suggestion then. You don't want to say that it's something that goes back in the Yovel year, but what about Nafala Mistech Harami? If someone's Machrima Sadeh, that means that they give it to the Beit HaMikdash, so it ends up going, if they redeem it, it goes to the Kohen. So he was a Kohen, right? Maybe it got to Pinchas through, it was a Stecherim, which meant it had nothing to do with his father. It came to Pinchas later, but yet it was going to stay in his hands forever. So Rav Papa ends with a Kushia on this, and we're left with a question on it. Okay, his question isn't answered. Okay, now, okay, there's two ways to read this sugya. I'm going to stick with this doesn't have to do with the discussion between Abai and Rav Papa a minute ago. There's a different way of reading it with a different girsa that seems to indicate that this is a continuation of that discussion, but we're going to assume that this is something else. This is now dealing with, Abai comes and deals with the psukim. Okay, I wrote it on the sheet here. It's a problem with the pasuk, v'chol bat yoresha nachala mimato p'nei Yisrael, he'lemecha mimishpachat mate aviha, t'yelisha. So Amar Abai says, I got another problem with this. Sof sof, ha'kam it akra nachala mishivta de'ima l'shivta de'aba. If she, let's say, she inherits land from her mother, okay? Because remember, Chobat Yoreshet Nachala, right? What do we learn? That the Bat can get land, Mimato Bnei Yisrael, right? She can get it from her mother and her father. Now, if her mother was from Shevet Ephraim, and or any other Shevet, right? Shevet Dan, whatever Shevet she might be from, passes it on to her daughter marries someone from a different Shevet, right? Even, let's say, a Sue, okay? Here's the mother, okay? Let's assume even the mother and the father were both from Shevet Dan, okay? They give it over to their daughter, okay? They, right, she gets land from her mother. So it's land from Shevet Dan. And then she marries her husband from Shevet Menashe, okay? Now this land from Dan is going to go, I'm sorry. Sorry, my mistake. Wait. No, it has to be, it's a mistake, right. It's her mother's from Dan and her father's from Asher, let's say, okay? Then she marries someone from Shevet Dan. Asher. I'm getting confused. She stays within her Shevet. Her Shevet is Asher because her father's from Asher. But if her mother had married someone from a different Shevet, then what will happen? She'll inherit her mother's land, which is Dan land, and she's going to eventually pass it on to her husband. So even if she stays within the same Shevet, if her mother didn't, what does that help her? Okay? So therefore he says, self, right? Hakam et akra nachala mishivte de'ima l'shivte de'aba. Eventually, the stuff is going to get passed. So then they say, umimai, who's to say that that's her problem? Dil mashane hatam shekvar husba. If she inherits this land from her mother, it's already, she inherited it before, okay, she inherited it before she married this guy from her shevet, right? So this nachala already switched fatim. When the mother married the father, really, right, it was definitely going to end up going through his tzatzaim. So in the end, it was already passed, and maybe she's not responsible for that. What she's responsible for is for her land, right? Whatever's going to be hers, that it pass over, that which she's going to inherit from her father. And therefore, this already was passed to, this was her mother's fault, really, right? And not her fault. So maybe she's not responsible. So Amar Le, Abai says, Shekvar husba lo amrinan. We don't say that. The isur of lo tisov nachala is you can't pass on nachala, even if it's it was already passed on before, you know, before you got married to your new husband. It's going to be your problem no matter what, okay? There's going to be a machloket about this now, okay? So Abaye says, Kfar hus balom rinan. However, Amalei Rav Yirmiyah lam Rav Ashi, I don't agree with Abaye, the Kfar hus balom rinan, and I'll show you why. Iyamar bishlamasha Kfar hus ba hainu dimuktuk makra. Sorry, you have to read, there's a different girsa in the Rashbam. I'm going to read the girsa of the Rashbam. I'm going to skip these words. Iyamar bishlamasha Kfar hus ba shapir. If you say that we're not worried about land that was already passed, you know, that's not your responsibility, so then it works. Skip down the next line. Ela iamar lo amrinan shekvar huspa, but if you say we don't say that, ki min seba lecha mi mishpachat mate avia mai have. What does it help, right? And if you don't say kvar huspa, if you say kvar huspa lo amrinan, that we're not worried about that, well then, like we said, it doesn't help us if she marries someone with her own, within her own shevet, because in any case, she's going to pass on her mother's nachala to this other shevet. So hakamet akar nachala mishifted ime leshifted da'aba. So what's their suggestion? Here's the good shidduch solution. Deman sabina la legavra da'avua mishifted da'avua v'ime mishifted da'ime. In order to make sure the nachala doesn't entirely leave her shevet, what does she have to do? She has to marry a guy whose father was from Asher and whose mother was from Dan, just like her. Okay, if you thought it's hard enough to find a shidduch right within your own shevet, now you got to find someone whose parents were also from two, right? So if your parents come from two different shvatim, you have to find someone whose parents came from those same two shvatim, and that way you'll keep the nachala kind of within the same, okay, it doesn't totally work, right? It's a little hard to understand exactly how this totally resolves it. Don't worry, they're not going to really stick with this. But then they say, if that's the case, ihachi, it's one of those like crazy Gemara suggestions, okay? Hai le'echa mi mishpacha matea aviha vi'ima mebaile, right? What does it say here? She has to marry someone mi mishpacha matea aviha. It should say she has to marry someone mi mishpacha matea aviha vi'ima. Okay? That would be a good place to end the Gemara. However, the Gemara actually suggests that maybe it is in fact true, that she has to marry someone for both Shvatim. And why is this? Even though it doesn't say Mishpachat Aviha V'Ima, there's a reason why it doesn't say it. Iktiv hachi hava minu afilu ipcha ka mashmalan. If we had said that she has to marry someone Mishpachat Mata Aviha V'Ima, what would we think? That you can pick if you want someone whose mother was from Asher and father's from Dan. In other words, it sounds like you just have to marry someone from either side of yours. But if you really wanted it to say mother's side, right, the father has to be the same shevet as the father, and the mother has to be the same shevet as the mother, it wouldn't make sense to write Mishpacha Matea Aviha Ve'ima. And therefore, the fact that it said Mishpacha Matea Aviha might actually be fine, and it might actually tell you that you're supposed to marry both sides. So why did we get to here? Because this is all, Abaye asked this question. In the end, you're still passing on nachala, so this doesn't really resolve the issue if your mother's from a different shevet than your father. And then you're going to end up passing on the nachala. So they say, right, so Abaye says, they tried to say to Abaye, no, but that's not, right, kfar huspa. And he says, no, even if you say, you could say lo amrinan kfar huspa, and you would have to explain that you would have to, according to him, you would have to marry the father with the same shevet as your father, and the mother with the same, right, a husband who has exactly the same the genetic makeup, so to speak, right, tribal makeup, and then that would be the way that you would resolve it. Okay, that's a biased solution, which is quite strange. However, that's what he says. Okay, now we're going to say Tanya b'sabata ben v'tanya b'sabata bal. We have two brito, one that, okay, we're going to basically see that the order, they both darshan in the exact same thing from the same psukim, but the order of how they, where they start and where they end is different. Okay? Tanya b'sabata ben v'tanya b'sabata bal. So Tanya b'sabata ben. Okay, we're going to darshan those psukim. Okay, look at your sheet. Where does she go? Pass me one. Okay. Oh, it's right here. Okay. We're going to darshan those same psukim. Okay, so look inside at the psukim. V'lo tisov nachala lebnei Yisrael mi mateh el mateh. Okay, that's the second pasuk we brought. Lo tisov nachala. Okay, it's actually the pasuk Zion, the first pasuk in the section. Okay, so what do they say? B'sabat ha'ben ha'katuv medaber. That's talking about passing it on to your son, through your son. How do we know that it's passing it on through your son and not through your husband? Ah, because they said, "Kashehu omer v'lo tisov nachalami matel matel acher harei b'sabat habal akatuv amur So what do they say? First they say that the Pasuk Zion is talking about the son. Then they say, well, how do you know it's talking about passing it through the son? Maybe it's passing it through the husband. They say, no, because the other Pasuk, is obviously talking about the husband. And since that one's obviously talking about the husband, the first one must be talking about the son. Now, why is it obvious that that's talking about the husband? It's quite obvious, because it says, Acher is someone who's acher. The husband is someone totally different from you. Your son is your blood. Okay? Tanya Idach. Now the next, like I said, this bride is going to darshan the psukim the same way, but in the opposite order. They're not going to start with Sabbat HaBen. They're going to start with saying, this pasuk is talking about the Sabbat HaBal. Maybe you would have thought, okay, so let's read it. Tanya Idach, V'lo tisov nachalami matel matei acher, b'sibat HaBal, akatu medaber. Okay, it's talking about passing on through the husband. How do you know that's b'sibat HaBal? And maybe it's actually talking about passing it through the son. Okay, when you say that's obviously talking about through your son. Okay, so now this is saying, right, it's just a matter of which one was more pashut to the other. And one second. I'm trying to remember why what was obvious to the second drasha, right? The first guy was obvious, the acher was talking about the husband. The second one, I'm just looking in the Rashbam, he comments on it. The last few lines in the first Rashbam there, he says, V'tana batra lo sfira lehach drasha de acher de lekaman. Umoke misvara lekrai kama b'sibat habal. Okay, why does he think the first pasuk is the baal? He assumes that we start out, he says, dekarev le tvei mi baal. Okay, what does he say? If there's going to be one pasuk that talks about it and only one pasuk, what are we going to assume it is? It's the son, because the son is more obvious because he's blood. So therefore, the first pasuk, it's obvious it's talking about the son. The question only is, well, why is there a second pasuk? And then we get to the baal. Okay, so the first rasha was saying it's obvious because it says acher, that means the baal. The second one is saying it's obvious because he's blood, that when we're going to have a first pasuk that talks about it, it must be talking about the son. And therefore, only when there's a second pasuk is it obvious it's talking about the baal. Okay, so now what's the Gemara going to say about this? Dekule alma mihat, everyone, however, agrees that mimatel amate acher is b'sibat habal akatub medaber, right? Everyone agrees that that pasuk is referring to the husband. My mashma, okay, we're going to skip this word siman, the Bach takes it out. My mashma, amar rabba rav shila, amar kra, ish. How do we know that that pasuk is referring to the husband? Because it says ish in that pasuk, ki ish benachalato yidbaku, and ish is, right, ish, your husband. Ella, amar rav nachman bar yitzchak, I read it wrong. So then they say, what do you mean? Travayu ish k'tiv b'hu. Wait a minute. Look at pasuk Zion, okay? You have to look at the pasukim, otherwise you won't follow. The pasuk Zion, where it talks about the son, says lo tisav nachalat b'nei Yisrael mimatel mate, ki ish b'nachalat mate avotav. Also, ish appears in that pasuk. And basically, they're going to say, how do you know that this was referring to the husband, right? Why is it so obvious to them? So they say, because ish is in the pasuk. Then they say, what are you talking about? The other pasuk also says ish. So now, right, it's a ridiculous suggestion, right? One of them approached him and said, well, you know, or one commentary I read said that you can, it's, you know, maybe they weren't as familiar with all the words of the psukim, right? Others say, what are you talking about? They knew the psukim fluent, like, don't assume that. But from here, it kind of sounds like they didn't really know the psukim. They didn't remember the last words of the pasuk about ish. And it's going to continue like this. El amar av nachman bar yitzchak amar kra yidbiku. Like, who are you nidbak to? Your husband, right? V'davak b'ishto. So, but then they say, no, travayu yidbekuk tibu. But also, both of them say, remember I started the class and I said, listen to the psukim, they sound identical. Yidbeku b'nei Israel in Zion and yidbeku matup b'nei Israel in the last psukim. So now, what do they say? Ala amar rava amar kra yidbeku matot. Okay, they say, right, when are you nidbak to a mateh? Through marriage. Okay, so since it says yidbeku matot, and it doesn't say yidbeku matot in that psukim, therefore it was obvious to them that they were talking about through marriage. Rav Ashi Amar, Amar Kra, Mi Mateh LeMateh Acher, Uben Lav Acherhu. Okay, this is how I started it, which is Rav Ashi's answer, which is we now have two answers. One is to say because it says Yidbeku Matot, and one is to say because it says in Yal Ish Acher, and Ish Acher is obviously not the son. Okay, now we're going to learn a further pasuk, which is a further halacha, which is called Ra'oi B'Muchzak. Okay, which is a bal eino notel ra'oi kebemuchzak. What does that mean? We learned this before. Well, you'll remember probably when I say it, which is that if a woman, when her husband inherits her stuff, what does he inherit? Whatever she has at that given time. But if she has someone owes her money, for example, or her father, let's say, dies after she dies, and she's supposed to inherit his land, let's say there's no other brothers, okay, so she's supposed to get his land, whatever she inherits from her father doesn't go to her husband, okay? Anything that wasn't in her possession at the time of her death doesn't go to the husband, okay? That's eino notel ra'oi kibimuchzak. Muchzak is what's in her property, and ra'oi is what's coming to her in the future. So we now have to learn, where do we learn this from? Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yanai. Amar Rebbe, okay? This was passed down by many generations. Umatu ba mishmeidu Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. Some people say it wasn't the name of Rebbe, it was the name of Yeshua ben Karcha. Minayin labal sheino notel bara'oi kibimuchzak. How do we know this? Shenemar, here's our pasuk. Uskuv holide yehir vayhilo esrim v'shalosh arim be'eretz ha-gil'ad. Now we're going to darshan this pasuk differently. Okay, he had these 23 cities. Minayin le-yair shalo hayalo l'skuv. How did Yair have anything that skuv didn't have? Ela melamed shenasa skuv isha. Skuv must have been married to a woman who owned these 23 cities. But it wasn't she who owned the cities. It was, let's say, her father. Umeitu b'chaye morisheha. But she died while her father was still alive, okay? Or anyone else who would have passed the inheritance to her, okay? And then what happened? Later they died. They went to pass the Yerusha to her. She was no longer alive. It goes straight to her son Yair, and that's how we got these 23 cities. Not the way we said it before, because he married someone, but he got it because it was passed to his mother, who's Skuv's wife, but it was only after her death, in which case Skuv doesn't get it anymore. And a second pasuk, okay, we can know where this is going. Velazar ben Aharon met, v'yigiburu oto, right, v'givah Pinchas bino. Minayin lePinchas shelo hayalo leElazar. Again, the same thing. Where did Pinchas get this land from? Melamed shenasa Elazar isha, umeta b'chayei morisheha, umeta morisheha v'yarsha Pinchas, right? What happened again? Elazar married a woman. She died before, let's say, her father died. Her father had this property. He then died, the father, and Meitu Morishah, that's the father, and then Yersha Pinchas, and Pinchas then inherited. So now, obviously, we're going to ask, my Omer, why do you need two Pesukim? It's very funny sometimes how the Gemara, certain structures, right, appear in the same Dapim, like, you know, right next to each other a number of times, the exact same format. My Omer, V'chi tema Yair, dehavanasiv itita umeta v'yarta. You might have thought that maybe Yair himself had married someone, and she died, and that's how he inherited the 23 cities, like we suggested earlier. Talmud lamar v'Elazar ben Aharon met. Right? In other words, that's why we have the second pasuk. In other words, if you would think that one of the pasukim came through the wife, the other one must have come through the mother. And how did it come through the mother, if the mother was married to the father? Because it must be that the mother got the land after she had already died. But maybe you would say with Pinchas that maybe he got it from Shtei Charamim, like we said on the page before, like Rav Papa wanted to suggest. Amar Kra, but now they sound, but there's an extra word in the Pasuk which shows that it doesn't come from a Shtei Charamim, which is Amar Kra Bino. Why does it say Pinchas Bino? We know that Pinchas was his son. So why does it say they buried him in the spot of Pinchas Bino? Nachalah Haruya Lo V'Yarsha Bino. Bino is trying to tell you that it was Nachala that he could have inherited, but instead it went to his son. And that's teaching you this halacha of ra'oike b'muchzak, right? The eino notel b'ra'oike b'muchzak, he doesn't, because this land, they're trying to specifically say, it says his son, it's almost like a slap in his face, like this should have been his land, but it wasn't because of the order of the deaths, right? Remember, if the father's, the grandfather, right, had given to the mother, right, the father of the mother, but had died first, it would have gone to the mother, which would have then gone to the wife, to Elazar, to her spouse. But instead, it ended up going to his son.
Okay? It doesn't explain why they need two, it just explains why that one.
No, that explains, okay, so it explains, right, they're
it
saying now.
Why the Yair, that is, like, you can learn the same thing from both, so that you.
Right, well, one you could have learned that came through the wife, and one you could learn came from the son.
But they also switched the order from here than when they listed them previously, and I'm wondering whether there's any...
why they started with...
In the previous list.
They started with Vechitein, if you just had this one
and
not that one.
You had before,
before that. Yeah, yeah, I'm not so sure that that's so critical here. What's interesting is that they clearly take this pasuk in all different directions and darshan it in different ways in different places, right? Anyway, okay, so that's it for today. We'll pick up, we're going to get to the next section of the Mishnah on Tuesday. Okay, we'll pick up on Tuesday. Like I said, Tuesday we'll do the next two. You can see they're very short. We'll do through Kfir Dalet.